found him, he found me. Before I sought him, he sought for me. Yes, Jesus cares for me. Lost in the darkness, I stumbled alone, far from the sunlight of day. Then Jesus found me, and he made me his own. He drove my darkness away. Before I loved him, he loved me. Before I found him, he found me. Before I sought him, he sought for me. Yes, Jesus cares for me. Chill in the darkness, I wandered in sin, far from the warmth of the light. Then Jesus found me, and he changed me within, kindled his love in the night. Now in the sunlight I follow his word, through every trial and test. He is my Savior, and he is my Lord. Gladly I give him my best. Before I loved him, he loved me. Before I found him, he found me. Before I sought him, he sought for me. Yes, Jesus, my Savior, my Master, cares for me.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Before we loved him, he first loved us. Amen. For sure. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today, and glad to have the opportunity to once again be back at Faith Baptist. I always look forward to coming and spending time with both your preacher and with you all. And it's always good to just be used somewhere. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's been quite a journey these last 19 years, and being in the evangelism and just stepping out in the middle of my life and not knowing what was going to happen, just trusting the Lord. And boy, the best thing you can do is just trust God, whatever He's trying to do with your life. And it is good to be here on your big day. Man, I started looking around. I said, "Is anybody going to see if I slip over there and grab some of those?" Man, I'm a sweetaholic. You can ask my wife. By the way, my wife, raise your hand if you would. My wife with me today, and didn't know if she was going to be able to come. She's been sick, but she's been on medicine for a while now. So hopefully, she's on the mend. Amen. But yeah, I'm a sweetaholic, man. I started looking at all this stuff, and I said, "Good night, man. This is." Wrong place for me to be. Amen. And but it is good to be here. I want to give you a simple little thought this morning, one that I hope will challenge each and every one that sits here. And I'm gonna have some participation from some of you here in just a moment. But I want to read something to you, and then I'm going to have you stand in the text that we read. But let me read this to you before we begin. It's a little thing that's put out. Actually, you may have read it to him. I don't know. This was Brother Gary Dice's dad sends out some things, and it was sent in something that he sent out. But it says this. It's entitled, "The Man in the Bed by the Window." Two men, both seriously ill, occupied the same hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each afternoon to help drain the fluid from his lungs. The bed was next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all his time flat on his back. The men talked for hours on end. They spoke for of their wives and families, their homes, their jobs, their involvement in the military service, where they had been on vacation. Every afternoon, when the man in the bed by the window could sit up, he would pass the time by describing to his roommate all the things that he could see outside the window. The man in the other bed began to live for those one-hour periods where his world would be broadened and enlivened by all the activity and the color of the world outside. The window overlooked a park with a lovely lake. Ducks and swans played on the water while children sailed their model boats. Young lovers walked arm in arm amidst flowers of every color, and a fine view of the city skyline could be seen in the distance. As the man by the window described all this in exquisite detail, the man on the other side of the room would close his eyes and imagine the picturesque scene. One warm afternoon, the man by the window described a parade passing by. Although the other man couldn't hear the band, he could see it in his mind's eye as the gentleman by the window portrayed it with descriptive words. Days and weeks passed. One morning, the day nurse arrived to bring water for their baths, only to find the lifeless body of the man by the window, who had died peacefully in his sleep. She was saddened and called the hospital attendants to take the body away. As soon as it seemed appropriate, the other man asked if he could be moved to the next window, moved next to the window. The nurse was happy to make the switch, and after making sure he was comfortable, she left him alone. Slowly, painfully, he propped himself up on one elbow to take his first look at the real world outside. He strained to slowly turn to look out the window beside the bed, and he found that it faced a blank wall. The man asked the nurse what could have compelled his deceased roommate, who had described such wonderful things outside this window. The nurse responded that the man was blind, and he couldn't even see the wall. And she said, perhaps he just wanted to encourage you. What a story of a life, of a man who was blind, who could see nothing, but was in a position where somebody else was in worse shape than what he was, really. And he did his best to try to encourage them. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 90, if you would. Psalm 90. And as you turn there, if you'd stand, we'll, in respect to the Word of God, we'll read this passage of Scripture. This passage is a passage that deals with the brevity and the frailty of our human existence. It's beginning. Let's go ahead and pick it up. Verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath we are troubled. Now pay close attention. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins, in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger, even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. Verse 12 says, So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to have you focus just for a second on the last portion of verse number 9, where it makes the statement, We spend our years as a tale that is told. What is the psalmist saying here? The life that we live, the years that we live, tell a story. Tale, the word tale there means a story or a narrative. So as we live out these days of our life, each and every day that we live tells a tale. Leaves behind a story. I just read that little story about that man there just to try to challenge you in your mind a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to challenge your heart in the next few moments with a simple little question. And that is, what tale is your life telling at this very moment? What tale is your life telling? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless again the next few moments that we have to spend together. I pray that you'd challenge our hearts. Lord, I beg you for those that may be here, may be visitors, may be people that are even a member of this church, but they really have never truly understood what it means to be born again, to know that they're a child of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to get that settled today. Lord, I do pray for those of us that sit here that know you as our Savior and that have lived maybe many years of our life knowing you. Lord, I pray that you'd challenge our heart and where we're at in our life and what we're doing, God. Please help us to be challenged by the truth of this passage this morning. And we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as this passage says here, really, truly, the years of man are 70. We know that. I mean, if you go back earlier in the Bible, it tells you different portions of time. Men lived longer, but as it worked its way down, this is the last time that we see where God gives something that says basically what about the kind of years that our life will be. 70. 70 years, that's not very long, really. I mean, 70 years and it's over with. But the question again is, what tale is our life telling right now? I want to take and I want to use a simple little illustration that I think will help us all to maybe focus in a little bit more about this. This is not going to be a real long message, but I want to challenge you really truly with where you're at in your life. I need some participation. What I need is I'm going to set out across the front here a human timeline, just to get your mind thinking about maybe where you're at, maybe where you've been, maybe what the Lord will give you. So if I could, is there somebody that's 10 years of age here? Somebody 10 years old or right near 10 years of age? Come on up here, buddy. Saw that hand over there. Come on up here. And I want you to come over on this side of the platform over here, if you would. Give me somebody that's 20 years of age. We're going to go by 10-year increments. Somebody 20 years of age. You just stand right over here, be fine, that's good. Come on now, 20 years of age, don't be shy. Come on. People, then they don't want to tell their age. Once you get 20, that's it. Nobody wants to tell. Okay, how about 21? 19, somebody in that age right there. Come on now, 19, 21, anybody at all? Come on, this guy. Okay, come on. All right, we got to get somebody pretty up here, okay? We can't put all these guys across the front, okay? So, all right, here we go. You're the 20-year-old, so you can just stand right here. How about somebody 30 years of age? Now it's getting harder. I know nobody wants to raise their hand now. 30 years of age. Come on. Are you 30? All right. Come on down here, Brother Mike. All right. 30 years of age. Stand right there. 40 years of age. We got a 40-year-old. Come on now. 40. Where are we at? No. Yeah. 40 years of age. 40 years of age? Come on up. Somebody excited about being 40 years of age, too. There you go, right in the middle right here. I would have never guessed. Amen. All right, 50 years of age. 50 years of age. Somebody 50 years of age. Come on now. Help me out here. You know, right around 50, 49, 51, somebody that age. See, right here. All right, Mr. Johnson, why don't you come right up here. Stand right here if you would. All right, 60 years of age. 60 years of age. Somebody 60 years of age. Now we're getting into my category. 60 years of age. But I'm not standing down here, all right? Come on, somebody, okay, come on. I'm close. You close? Okay, I got Brother Angel. I'll just put him right down here, 60 years of age, and then 70 years of age. Someone 70 years of age. Right back here, 70 years of age. All right. There you go, right here. Oh, we got
two of them.
No.
Okay. We got two, so come on up here. That's all right. You both can come up here. You're fine. I don't care. Come on up here. Come on, both of you. You can stand side by side. All right. Here we go. Just stand right over here. All right. I want you to stop and think in your mind's eye. Thank you for coming up. You can stand right over here beside the other lady over here. I want you to stop for a moment, and I want you to think about where you stand in this human timeline here. I mean, as you look across the stage here, or the platform here, you think of 10 years of age, and most of us look back and say, 10 years of age? I can't even remember when I was 10 years of age. But maybe you are a young person here. You think about, yeah, that's where I'm at. And I bet, what's your name, bud?
Gage.
What is it?
Gage.
Gage, you're probably not even thinking about down there where old Brother Angel is, are you? You say, man, I got so many years ahead of me, I ain't got nothing to worry about here. But But let me just say something to you, Gage. You don't know how long you're going to live. And nobody in this room knows how long you're going to live. Even though God says the years are 70 and 10, and we'll get into this in just a moment, but I can tell you a whole lot of people that have died at Gage's age, or even younger. God is not as concerned about the length of what our life is as in what's accomplished in the years that we do have. You know, at 20 years of age, you're thinking, man, I got them a whole life ahead of me. Not necessarily. We don't know for sure. 30 years of age, just getting into the prime of life. Amen. 40 years of age, man, I can't say the lady came up. I can't say what I was going to say at 40 years of age. No. Hey, at 40 years of age, listen, if we go by God's timeline, we're just past that midway point. Amen. You ladies down here that are 70 years of age, I mean, according to God's timeline, you know, you're right there where God says, you know, from here on, it's grace. It's the grace of God. And those of you that may be older than 70 years of age today, you're living on the grace of Almighty God. And thank God for that. But here's what I want to focus on for just a moment here. I want you to stop and think about where you're at, maybe where you're headed. But I want you to remember that your life could be over with today. This very day. My son Ben, my second son, engaged to a young lady, was at a church, and a good church. Well, you know Brother Steve Brown in Livonia, Michigan. Sitting in church on the first Sunday in June, sitting beside his future father-in-law, 53 years of age, 24-year veteran of the police department, started the canine unit in his police department, just man in good health, physical health and everything. Preacher asked everybody to bow their head and close their eyes in the church service. Independent Fundamental Baptist, good church service, bowed his head, closed his eyes. During the prayer, he fell over dead in the pew with a heart attack. You don't know how long you're going to live. But can I ask you, are you thinking about it every day? Are you thinking about what I'm accomplishing, what I'm doing, the tale that my life is telling? You should be. Amen. You know, there's one thing about it. When you and I come to the end of our life, wherever it may be on this timeline here, as the Scriptures tell us, we are all going to give an account before the Lord. We will all stand before the Lord and give an account of our life and where we're at, or where we've been, what's happened, what's taken place. Everything will be presented as we stand before the Lord. And we're going to give that account. It says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, you may think that you're getting by with things that you're doing right now or living the way that you're living, but there's a day coming where you're not getting by with anything, I'm telling you. And when we go and when we pass, really the only thing that will be remembered is the tale that our life has told. It tells us also in Romans 14 and verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You say, well, what do you mean we shall give an account of ourselves to God? What does it mean there, Brother Martin? There's three things that every one of us that sit here will give an account of before the Lord. Number one is simply, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Gage, you're 10 years of age. I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you get saved, buddy?
Last year.
Praise the Lord. He passes the first test. What do you mean? He can stand before the Lord knowing that the shed blood of Christ has covered his sin, that he's on his way to heaven. Everybody that sits here is going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of that. What you did with Christ. I could go down and ask all these old people here, but I want to ask you the question. What have you done with Christ? Have you accepted him? Or have you rejected him? Have you put on the front for all those years? Or have you really truly been saved? been born again. You know, the truth of the matter is, and I don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody, but the truth of the matter is, we don't all believe in the same God. There's a world today that's trying to promote this thing. Well, you know what? We all believe in the same God. We're all going one direction. No, we don't. Now, the script, let me just read a few verses to you in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read this little passage to you and challenge your heart. The truth is, I just had a situation happen with a relative of mine, Brother Angel, that thought she's saved, and maybe she is saved, but she went and took a class. And this class was a class on religions in school. And she said, you know what? She said, I found out after going through that class, really, truly, we're all really, you know, like the Muslim faith. And she went on and named a couple others. We're all looking to the same God. And I said, oh, no, we're not looking to the same God. She said, what do you mean? I said, listen, I said, most of those religions that you name, they don't even recognize Jesus as the Son of God. They don't recognize Him as their Savior. They don't recognize Him as God in the flesh that came to die for us. This tells us in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, here's what it says. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God for that. Amen. But it tells us here in verse number 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, that because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that God loved us, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what was sung. That was the song that was sung. Amen. What do you mean? Jesus Christ came to die for it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's only one road to everlasting life. And it's all dependent upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Either you receive Him and put full trust and faith and confidence in Him and Him alone, the completed work on Calvary, His precious blood and nothing else, or you can believe whatever you want to believe. But that's the road that leads to destruction. Number one question you'll have to answer when you stand before God. Put yourself in your position here. Just think about this for a moment. All you that are standing here, think about this for a minute. Just think about if you were standing right now before and you're looking to the Lord and you're standing before Him. You're going to give an account. Do you know Christ as your Savior? What have you done with Christ? The second thing that we're going to have to give an account of is simply this. What have you done with His precious Spirit? How many of you believe that when you got saved, that you received the Holy Spirit of God? You should, because that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. I mean, and listen, God even put it in words like the terminology that He gave us was, it was the earnest of our salvation. What do you mean? That's just the down payment about what everything's going to be. Man, just to think about that. I mean, He gave us the best in allowing Jesus to come and die for us, but then He added on top of that and gave us His precious Holy Spirit. Now that Holy Spirit lives in us. And oh, we come up with every excuse in the world why we can't live for God, but we've got what we need to be able to live for Him with the Holy Spirit living in us. And when we stand before Him one day and give an account, we'll give an account of what we did with that precious Holy Spirit that He put in us. What do you mean? Did we listen to that Holy Spirit? Do we follow that Holy Spirit? That's why He gave Him to us. He gave a part of Himself to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. But oh, how many times that we resist that Holy Spirit? How many times we push the Holy Spirit away? You know, the Bible says there's two things we can do to that precious Holy Spirit that lives in us. First of all, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, what does grieving mean? It means to bring grief to. To bring grief to. Well, how do we bring grief to the Holy Spirit? I don't think I have to answer that. I mean, when we go places we shouldn't go, when we watch things we shouldn't watch, when we say things we shouldn't say, when we attack people. I mean, anything that would be ungodly grieves the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you. We're going to stand before God one day. We're going to give an account of not only what we did with Christ, but what we did with the precious Holy Spirit that He gave to us. One way is in grief and in what we do to do things that we shouldn't be doing. But the second thing is quenching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us to quench not the Spirit. And most of you know I was a firefighter for 15 years in a big city. That was what my job was, to quench the fire. The word quench means extinguish. To extinguish fires. You read that book very long and you'll know and understand that the Holy Spirit is spoken about over and over and over as being a fire. Listen, well, part of God living in us, there's a fire that burns. Is that burning in your soul today? Or have you put it out? You say, how do I put it out? By not listening to Him, by not following, by not taking heed to the truth of His Word, by not walking with Him, by not walking in Him. There's so many things, so many ways that we mess that up. There's a battle that's always going to be there because we still have this flesh. And this flesh ain't saved. Pardon my English. This flesh ain't saved. Amen. And this flesh is going to battle that spirit till the day you die. But it's more important that you understand and realize that, again, I already read the verse, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That Holy Spirit can help you to live victorious. It can give you victory over sin. It can lead you the right places. If we sit here and say, well, I just can't get victory over that sin, or I just can't get victory over that. Well, I just like this too much. What you're saying is, I love myself more than I love God. Because He's living in you trying to get you to do what's right. But when we give in to ourself, we're saying, I don't care so much about that Spirit that lives in me. Amen. So many other things that we could say about that. But thirdly, this is the third point. I said I'm not going to be real long. Third point is simply this. Not only will we give an account of what we did with Jesus, what we did with the Holy Spirit, but lastly, what we did for Jesus. What we did for Jesus. We'll give an account one day. And you know, there'll be an opportunity where we can receive rewards, crowns, for what we've done for the Lord, that we can give back to Him. Or we can suffer loss too. Because we never do anything in this life to accomplish anything for God. That little story that I read at the beginning, I read it just to challenge your heart to get you thinking a little bit. What do you do? I mean, that was a great thing that man did. Whether or not that man was saved, whether or not that man... But he did something to try to help somebody else. That's what we do when we live for the Lord. When we're trying to help other people. We're trying to help other people come to know Him. We're trying to help other people that are in distress. We're trying to show them that there's a God. That they're we're not trying to point people to us, but to that God that loved us and saved us. Amen. And so to show the world that there is a God and He does love you and He wants to help you. And that's what our life should be about. What you did for Jesus. You know, there's a little old phrase that's coined and it's been said many times. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you and I doing for Jesus right now? What tale is our life telling? Now, I could go back and I'm going to just give you a few illustrations here. You're 10 years of age, Gage, is that right? Are you 10 exactly? I thought he lied to me. No. 10 years and 7 months. The truth of the matter is, Gage, like I was telling you, and all you young people, I saw some young people over here, wherever you're sitting, I want you to focus again. You don't know how long you're going to live. I can tell you a story of a three-year-old, little three-year-old baby that drowned. But in 3 years of life, that little girl, she was such a spirited young lady. She made such an impact in her church. A good church. I'm going to name the church, and your preacher knows them. But that little girl drowned. She had such an impact on people that their church, which normally runs about 100, for the funeral, the church was packed. I had the privilege to be able to be there for the funeral. There was over 300 people at the funeral, and over 35 people trusted Christ that day. You say, well, you know, that she was 3 years old. She didn't do anything. 35 people come to Christ? How many people have we led to Christ in our lifetime? Man, people still talk about that little girl and the impact that she made at 3 years of age. I could tell you a story of a young boy. He would be standing right beside you, 11 years of age. He's a preacher's son. friend of mine went out on a canoeing trip with his dad for his birthday. Took his buddy with him. His dad took him and his buddy. They went out. They stopped to eat something and took their life jackets off. And they got wading in the water and somehow an undertow sucked them in. The dad, the preacher friend of mine, dove in the water to try to save him. He got out there and they were jumping on him, trying to push him down and get on top of him and everything. And he was able to grab hold and when the undertow kicked him out, the only person that he had was his boy's friend. And that boy drowned. The preacher's son, 11 years of age. Oh, but what a tale his life told. What do you mean? He was saved. He was born again. He was a soul winner. He was going out with the church and telling people about Christ. He had surrendered his life to go to the mission field. As a matter of fact, at our college up there at Grace, we have a plaque there, and we give a scholarship, preacher, every year to a missions major in honor of that young boy. You know what? The tale's still being told today. Because there's a young man that even though he was young, he didn't know his life was going to be over then, but the tale that he told was a good tale. Well, I could tell you about, I was, this message kind of came out of thinking about and reading this passage and thinking about just 5 years ago. Our church went through one of the hardest times we ever went through when we lost four young men in a vehicle accident. Two of them 17, one 16, and one 25. I'm telling you, I could stand here tonight and I could read story after story after story after story after story of the great testimony that all four of those young men had. Every one of them. That 25-year-old was my right arm when I started, helped preacher start the Bible college. He helped me keep the buildings up. Matter of fact, the month before he died, he had just finished remodeling the entire chapel building of our college. And he did it at night after he got off of his regular job. He would come and do it. What are you saying? Man, the stories that are told. Stories that were told at the funeral. What a tale that's told about these young men's lives. Their lives weren't in vain. Amen. And when they stand before the Lord, they had a great time as they stood before the Lord. I promise you. Amen. Well, I could go up in here. I could talk about people. Some ladies that I know, 37, 36 years of age, found out that they had cancer. They lived such a great, had great testimonies from the church that I'm from originally. Ended up passing away at 36 and 37 years of age. But the tale is still being told. Their children, they set such a great example for their children. Their children still love the Lord, still going forward for God. What are you saying? Oh, the tale that's told. We could go in here and we could start talking about people in this frame in here. Brother Fox and other people, the tales that were told by their life, the souls that were saved, the people, lives that were challenged, lives that were helped because of the life that they lived for the Lord, because they yielded to the Holy Spirit, because they did the things that God wanted them to do. You go down here and talk about, there's a man, and I was up in, you know, Brother Letson, Don Letson, up in Muskegon, Michigan. We were out soul winning one day, and there was a... there was a man in his church that was 72, 73 years of age that had passed away. He'd only gotten saved probably 3 or 4 years before he died. But boy, when he got saved, he got sold out, man. He was there shoveling the snow every time it snowed. He was cleaning the parking lot in the summer and springtime. He wanted to live at church. He wanted to be there. And he got saved. His life got changed and turned around. His wife had separated from him because he had been a drunk and because of things in his life. And we went to visit his wife. It was just, we were going to just go visit her and try to encourage her and went there and she wasn't saved. We began to talk about her husband. And preacher, they never got divorced. She started crying. This is a year since he passed away, 6 months to a year. And she started weeping and crying. And she said, you know, something happened in his life. Something changed. She said, I don't know what it was, but he was a different man. He would come and help me and do things for me. Even though we weren't together, he did things. And she said, I would like to know what it is. What happened to him? We had the privilege to lead that 70-year-old lady to the Lord. Why? Because of, hey, it doesn't matter the length. Amen. It just matters that we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. The life that, you say, wait a minute, but he probably lived a wicked life for many years. But the thing that's being remembered right now is that he got saved and his life got turned around and his wife got saved because of it. And who knows what else ends up happening because of it. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying, As the Scriptures tell us here, we live our years as a tale that is told. I can go right back here, and I can start right here with these two young people here. And I can begin to tell you stories of people that didn't live a good life. I told a story at football camp just a couple years ago of an 18-year-old young man that died. They went in to wake him up, to get him up to go to church. And he was dead in his bed at 18 years of age. We don't know how long we're going to have to live. He was dead at 18 years of age. But I don't have anything to tell you about him. Oh, he caused some problems in our youth group. He walked out of our youth group. He got involved and he went back to the public schools, graduated from the public schools. There's really nothing I can tell you good about his life. That's a sad thing. That is sad when a person, no matter where you're at on this timeline, your days are up, your days are numbered, and you don't have anything that's good to tell about your life. I can go down every one of these categories here. But I hope you get what I'm trying to bring across to this morning. What? Each one of us, our life is telling a tale. We don't know when we'll breathe our last breath. That's why, as that last verse says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You all can be seated. Thank you for coming up and being willing to just stand up here for me today. I want to ask you the most important question of life. And that is simply this. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that when you stand before the Lord, as these people were standing up here, when you stand before the Lord, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? If you can say, Brother Martin, I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, would you just slip your hand up real quick and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I know that. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. I see those hands. Praise the Lord for all those people can raise your hands. You can put your hands down. I don't believe everybody's hand was raised. And I appreciate you being honest about that. But the truth of the matter is, honesty will not take you to heaven. Only what you do with Jesus. If you sit here today and you say, Brother Martin, I don't know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to know that. If you can show me, if that Bible can tell me, I want to know that, would you pray for me? If you just slip your hand up real quick and back down, I'll pray for you. Slip a hand up. Anybody at all, say, Brother Martin, I see that hand there. And anybody else, I see that hand there. And I see that hand there. And anybody else, Brother Martin, pray for me. I'm not sure that if I were to die today, I see that hand there. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I sure want to know that. There's four or five people that have raised their hand. You say, Brother Martin, pray with me. I'm not sure. Slip your hand up. Say, that's me, Brother Martin. Please pray for me. I see that hand. I appreciate your honesty. Anybody else? Brother Martin, I see that hand. I appreciate your honesty, sir. The best thing to do is just get honest right now and listen. We can have you walk out of here knowing that you're a child of God on your way to heaven, and you won't have to worry about anymore standing before Him on this point here. Anybody else that raised your hand with these seven or eight that raised their hand? Anybody else? Brother Martin, pray for me today. I'm not sure about that, but I sure want to know that. Anybody else? Most important decision you'll ever make is to make a decision to do what the Lord tells us we're supposed to do. Anybody? Anybody else? Let me ask you this question then. How many of you be honest enough to say, Brother Martin, I fear standing before the Lord because I know that I have not done what I should do with His precious Holy Spirit. I know that I've not been where I should be. I know that I've not done what I should do. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. But I'm not living that kind of life right now. And God's convicted me in this service. Would you pray for me? Be honest. Slip your hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest about that. Maybe you'd say, Brother Martin, I feel like I've not done anything for the Lord. But I sure want to stand before Him knowing that I've tried to accomplish what He would have me to accomplish for Him. Would you pray for me that my life would be more fulfilled in His service doing what He wants me to do? You'd slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. I see those hands. I appreciate you. Appreciate you being honest. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you stand to your feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for those that raised your hand that said you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Would you do me a favor? I want to help you, and this church wants to help you, and I'm going to pray for you, but praying for you won't save you. If you'll come and give us the opportunity, we'll take the Bible. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know that for sure, how you can be assured, not through what we say, but what the Bible has to say. I want you to come right away as I begin to pray. And then the others, you know what to do. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as I begin to pray. Father, I pray that you would bless this altar time. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised. And Lord, there's 7, 8, maybe more that raised their hand. They're not sure. They're on their way to heaven. God, I beg you that you'd bring them this morning. Help them to come. Help them to give us the opportunity to show them from your word what they need to know about heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help those who raised their hand, many hands raised about the being submitted to your Holy Spirit, about accomplishing things for you. Lord, may we just flood this altar, get some things dealt with you this morning. Help us to realize that our life is being lived as a tale that is told. And God, may we make sure we're on the right track. Father, help us during this altar time, I pray in Jesus' name. Musician, please. If you raised your hand, you said, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come and give us the opportunity to share the truth of the Word of God? Why don't you come now? Don't stay in your seat, man. This is your opportunity. This is your chance. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. I want to ask you something. Nobody's looking around. If you raise your hand and said, pray for me, I'm not sure, I'm on my way to heaven, I want you only to look up at me. Did you mean that? You want me to pray for you? Did you want me to pray for you? Why don't you come and give us opportunity to share it? Did you mean that, sir? Why don't you come? Give me the opportunity. Let us help you so that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. You raised your hand back there? That's right. Come and give us the opportunity to share the truth of the Word of God with you. Most important thing in life is to have this thing settled about where you're going, where you're going to spend eternity, and that when you stand before the Lord one day, you'll be able to stand there knowing that you're trusting in the shed blood of Christ. Oh, God, help us today. Christian, are you following the Holy Spirit? Are you being sensitive to Him every day? Is your life telling a tale that you would want to be told from this point on? God, help us.